At 10:15, there was a public hearing scheduled for an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2011. At this point, Mr. Baker will give a brief explanation of the ordinance and the purposes to be accomplished. After he's completed that presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask questions to clarify their understanding of the ordinance. After that process is completed, I will open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this ordinance, you're required to make that statement from the speaker stand. And before making your statement, please state your name and address. Yep, Mr. President, there are two ordinances slated today, plus a motion, and it's my understanding, based on past practices, we will not vote on any of the ordinances till we have all three of the public hearings. Then we will come back and do the vote on those. So at this time, I would call on Mr. Baker to make the presentation. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. I would like to introduce again our budget committee, and we'd like to highlight some of the items in the proposed budget again. Some of this will be a little bit of a rehash for the county council. However, we thought it was important to review again. And this is Ms. Gina Jennings, our director of accounting. Of course, Susan Webb is our finance director, and Kathy Roth is our budget manager. And I'd like to especially thank them for all their hard work in this process. Again, what we'd like to do is just review a PowerPoint that we have put together regarding the budget to highlight some of the important items. This chart shows the total budget of $139.8 million, which is up 9.2%, which is primarily due to capital costs, especially water and sewer projects, which are funded by stimulus dollars, which we've been able to take advantage of. The general fund is only up 1.3%. It is 15% below the fiscal 2009 level, which you do not see here. Capital improvements is up 3%, reflecting non-sewer and water capital improvements, but this is 15% below what it was, or 51% below what it was in 2009. Our community development fund, which is for housing rehabilitation purposes, is up 2.2% for reflecting increases in federal money. Our water and sewer district proposed budget of $31.3 million is up 4.7%. However, we have an increase, a corresponding increase in users of 2.3%, and also we have an increase in our major repair and maintenance cost, which we will talk about. Again, our sewer and water is up for stimulus funds for the many different capital projects that we are working on. This 9.2% is primarily due to increases in this item right here, the water and sewer capital projects. Economic development is a very important goal for the county council, and we wanted to mention some of the things that we're doing. We are encouraging businesses to apply for tax-exempt financing through the county and the American Recovery Zone bonds. We have a number of construction jobs as a result of these $50 million worth of wastewater projects. All of these are under construction now. The Johnson's Corner, Angola, and Oak Orchard will replace 2,500 septic systems in the Inland Bay's watershed. So it will help the environment, help reduce the cost for the users with this special funding, and help provide construction jobs that are needed today. We are also applying for stimulus funding for some additional projects, which we'll talk about. There is some USDA stimulus funding that we're trying to take advantage of also. Solar panel project we will be working on this coming year, and additional funds for housing rehabilitation. At our industrial park, again, we have three areas we especially want to concentrate in, again, to provide some construction jobs and help businesses at the industrial park. We are looking at a runway expansion. There is $550,000 included in the proposed budget to pay for design and environmental assessment as required by the FAA for a 500-foot extension of the main runway, which will help aviation-related businesses such as Pat's. We also have a pavement improvement project to improve the what used to be the crosswind runway that's in pretty rough shape. To make it a, and it's used as a taxiway now, but it's, we need to improve the pavement there. Again, state mortgage funds, we're July 7th, we're having an information session. We're trying to broadcast to the public this underutilized program in Sussex County that provides low interest mortgages for first time homeowners and those residents who have not owned a principal home within 3 years. Hazardous mitigation grants, we're working on that, on this to provide local jobs and also to improve flood damage property. We have recently, the county council recently purchased land for the dredging of the Nanticoke River, so this project will help commerce and on the western side of the county and in the Seaford and Blades areas. And we have an economic development office which proactively works to new businesses and expand existing businesses. And as you can see, the general fund budget, again, is only up 1.3%. It is $5 million below the 2005 level for the general fund and $11 million below the 2008 budget. We've made some major reductions during this current fiscal 2010. And this particular proposed budget reflects a continuation of reduced staffing levels and as well as reduced expenditures for supplies, services, et cetera. The general fund proposed budget is pretty much a baseline type budget to provide current services, but recognizing the economic realities of today. We wanted to try to add a little more information this time regarding housing trends in the county. And as you can see, our realty transfer tax, which is a big part of our general fund, is down, we estimate for this fiscal year, about 12.7, maybe 12.8 of revenue. That is only, this represents a 64% reduction compared to 2006. Our mobile home placement fee, it is also down from $359,000 to $106,000. It's 70% less than what it was in 2006. And that money is dedicated to local independent libraries in the county. Our building permits for new homes, we had 2,850 building permits for new homes in 2006. We estimate this year we'll end up as of June 30 with 1,280. And the good news is that's better than 2009, 16% above 2009, but again, it's 55% below 2006. Our building permits for our fire service enhanced fee, again, that was at $2 million in 2006, and it looks like it might be $768,000 or $770,000 this year. Good news is it's a little above 2009, but it's still at a relatively low level. And we have in the budget $780,000 we estimate for next year. Documents recorded and recorder deeds, again, is down from $65,000 to $42,000. And with that, I'll turn it over to Gina Jennings, who will talk about general fund funding sources.
This is a pie chart of the general fund revenues. General fund revenues are up 1% from fiscal year 2010, as Mr. Baker stated. I'm just going to go through the pie chart and talk about the top five revenue sources. As you can see, realty transfer tax and property tax are 51% of our revenue. Property taxes, for the second year in a row, are slightly higher than realty transfer tax. Realty transfer tax is budgeted at $12.7 million, just like in the previous year. Our next one is fees and services at 19%. This includes building permits, inspection fees, and constitutional offices. And the next largest revenue is the pension fund revenue. This reimbursed general fund from the county's pension fund for pension costs and benefits. The next one is the state paramedic grant at 7%. This is the reduced share at 30%. This is costing the county additional $1.2 million. The next graph is the use of appropriated reserves. You can see this year we're using zero as we did in the previous year. This is down from $2.6 million in 2009 and $4.4 million in 2008. We are using appropriated reserves in the Capital Improvements Fund, but again, this is down also. It was 6.1 in 2010, it's 5.8 this year. This is where our money goes. Our largest expense is the paramedic program at $11.8 million. The next one is the Finance and Data Processing Department at 14%. This is where you'll find your dog control at $755,000. You have grants at 13%. This is up to $7.1 million from $6.9 due to restoring some of the grants at 50%. Some of these grants that we're restoring are fire companies, ambulance services, local law enforcement, and the conservation district for drainage projects. And then the next largest is the personnel at 10%. This is $4 million for pension distributions. Turn back over to Mr. Baker to talk about the expenditures by department.
This shows the general fund, the changes in general fund expenditures over the last two fiscal years compared to the 09 and the 010 budgets. And what we think is important to note is that we have five departments here with double-digit increases, for instance, assessment during the last 2 years, assessment, mapping and addressing, building inspections, data processing. You know, most of this is a result of the change in the economy and less construction-related work and the corresponding change in county government, how we've been able to shift our resources, our use of resources. This chart shows the number of full-time employees. This budget recommends a 22 less full-time employees compared to the 2010 budget, which was 26 less than the 09 budget. So over the last 2 years, we have reductions of 48 full-time employees in the county budget. And as you can see, there's listed here, again, the various departments that are doing more with less employees. And that is a big factor in terms of cost. We have had two early retirement offers, which were limited, but reduce our staffing by 15, and we also have, with attrition, as people leave for other opportunities or retire, then we've tried to use existing employees as best we can. Personnel highlights, this basically explains some of the benefits that the county provides. There are no layoffs or salary reductions recommended in the proposed budget. Our pension contribution is not, the employees do not contribute to the pension fund. We have a defined benefit pension fund, and the county government continues to cover that cost. There is no change in health insurance employee contributions, no change in holidays. The cost of living is, we do not have a cost of living recommended due to the economy. However, there are some merit increases as recommended by county department heads, as well as anniversary increases, which are based on your number of years service. Benefits for each employee average out about 62% of salary costs. So for each dollar we spend and for a full-time employee, we pay about 62% in benefits. And this chart gives you an idea. Shows you some of the benefits we provide, the big benefits, medical, pension, of course, FICA we have to pay, and that is all reduced over the last several years. In total, this number of $34.8 million is down 11% compared to 2009. And we'll turn it over to Ms. Kathy Roth to talk about public safety.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. I'm just going to cover some highlights on the public safety budget. Again, it's $20 million of the budget. This is 43% of the general fund. This is actually down from last, or up a little bit from last year, 1.65%. The paramedics make up most of this budget, at 59% of it. It's $11.8 million. Their budget is down from last year at $12.2 million. This is a 3.75% decrease from last year. Fire service and ambulance fees, again, their grants were restored, 50% of the cut from last year, which is $92,000. The state police, again, are at the same funding as last year, or this current year, 2010, at $1.5 million. And again, this is for 40 additional officers here in Sussex County, over and above the state allotted amount. Local law enforcement, this goes to municipalities at $20,000 each. And again, this was restored at half the cut from the 2010 budget. Emergency preparedness is at $2.6 million. This is actually a 10% increase, mainly to do for capital cost and repair maintenance from last year, for the 2010 budget. And the library funding, again, at $4.8 million. This includes both the three county-owned libraries and the 11 independent libraries. Actually, our county libraries are down 3.1% this year, and last year they were down 10%. So our county libraries have been scaled back. Our operation hours are still the same, though. A lot of this has come from the administration side, which is down 31% from 2010. Our local library funding, though, has actually increased 1% in the last 2 years. So the independent libraries funding keeps increasing a little bit each year. Now I'm going to turn it back over to Mrs. Jennings for our community development.
This table just shows the last 3 years. The federal grants are from CDBG, HUD, and HBG programs. The state loan program's consistent. We have the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, and it's been funded again in 2011. Since 2010, 16 households have been purchased, and we have families living in them, and there are six additional homes under contract currently. The next one's the county contribution, the grant. We're requesting $30,000 this year, which is consistent the last year. And the county also picks up some administrative costs at $221,000. Next table is the capital projects in our non-water and sewer funds. As you can see, the top is where the revenue is coming from. We have federal funding, state funding, a little bit of investment income from our capital projects cash, and appropriated reserves of $5.8 million. Mr. Baker, a few weeks ago, had gone into detail of the projects. This is just an overview. We have Airport and Industrial Park, $3.5 million. This is stormwater improvements, wetland mitigation, and runway 422 extension. We have property acquisition at $1.2 million. We have emergency communications building to store and the command unit and communications equipment at $1.3 million. And above is 50% funded by the state. That's part of the $992,000. Then we have building improvements and expansion, which is Greenwood Library expansion and the Milton Library improvements. We have the EOC solar panel project, which is funded through federal stimulus, and two generators, one for the county admin building here and the emergency preparedness department. And then we have some money in for a finance system of $250,000 for a total of $8 million. Turn back over to Mr. Baker to talk about the highlights.
And finally, this is a chart just showing some of the budget highlights. No property tax increase is recommended again. The property tax would remain at 44.5 cents. The average county tax for a single-family home is about $105. For a average manufactured home, about $40 a year. The school tax is on top of that, which varies depending on what the school district is and what the rate is for each school district. It could be $500 or $600 on top of that, $400 to $600 on top of that. Again, reduced staffing levels, a unified sewer and accounting fund that Mrs. Webb will talk about here shortly, funding for 40 state police above the state police allocation. That has not increased, that has remained the same per the request from the Delaware State Police. Delaware Volunteer Firemen's Association, total of $3 million, it is up about $92,000 in terms of the county's contributions to restoring half of the cut, the 8% cut from last year. Dog control, $755,000. We have a decrease in pension cost per our actuarial study, but an increase in health insurance, and these two offset. A very aggressive five-year capital plan and economic development capital plan, and also no use of appropriated reserves in the general fund budget. That I'll turn it back to Mr. Moore. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Is there anyone from the public that would like to comment on the presentation? There's a gentleman in the back.
That's all first. My name is Dan Kramer. I ain't been here for a while, so I guess you guys haven't really missed me. But anyhow, that's beside the point. The point is, I want to know where this budget. Oh, you ain't got no tax increases. Big whoop-de-doo. Got enough money to choke a cow, and then you want to take your employees and tell them you ain't no good suckers, but we're going to give them to the dogs. Well, you know what? I hope them dogs come back to bite you all in the butt, because you deserve it. You guys don't deserve a raise. That gal over there deserves a raise. She doesn't, and he doesn't. But I want to tell you something. The rest of the employees deserve a raise. You got the money to do it, but oh no, we can't do that, because we just got to have smaller government. Well, that's going to save us what? And talking about raising taxes, I'll tell you what, before you guys ever think about raising taxes, hey, we'll look at some real books. Thank you. You all have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Sandy Spence. I live at 18471 Seashell Boulevard, outside Lewis. I'm representing the League of Women Voters. I'm the program chair for the Sussex County League and state president. The League of Women Voters wishes to compliment the Sussex County administrator and financial staff for its excellent work in achieving a balanced budget and managing the county's financial affairs in a most prudent and professional manner under the direction and within constraints established by County Council. We understand that Administrator Baker has provided Council with a five-year general fund projection suggesting that with modest increases in revenue and expenditures, the county will face four straight years of deficits, ranging from $1.2 million in fiscal 2012 to $1.7 million in fiscal 2015. This concerns us. We understand that the council has wished to control expenditures and avoid tax increases during the recent economic downturn. We also understand that the downturn is not over, and it may take several years for our local economy to return to normalcy. So, for the 21st consecutive year, county residents will not see a property tax increase. The average county homeowner pays $105 in county taxes, some of the lowest property taxes in the nation. When we talk to friends from other states, they literally cannot believe these low taxes, even when we add in taxes that go to our school districts. We urge you to consider increasing property taxes gradually to ensure that this county can improve services that are urgently needed by our rapidly growing population, particularly aging citizens. According to the budget document, a 1% increase would bring in $271,000. So if you would raise the county portion of property taxes by even 5%, that would amount to an average of only $5.81 per property. That's less than the cost of a meal at McDonald's once a year. And it would bring in $1,355,000. Enough to expand the growing need for services to the county's expanding population, such as police, fire, emergency services, grants to nonprofits who provide so many social services that are otherwise unavailable to our citizens. While we understand that the county has no control over unfunded mandates, it is necessary that essential services be continued and expanded to meet the needs of our growing aging population. We don't have the resources to evaluate every detail of the budget, but we would like to highlight our strong support for the county goals. Our focus is primarily on issues that relate to land use. As you know, as many of you know, we had the League had a series of land use public forums over the past year and addressed a number of land use issues. We do support your goal of maintaining funding for local libraries and actually would like to see them increased. We support your goal of upgrading and maintaining existing wastewater services, your goal to continue to eliminate existing septic systems and new and expanded sewer districts, and we add, and to do so as a public service by the county, rather than allowing such systems to be operated by private, for-profit companies over which you have little enforcement authority or ability. We urge you to improve code enforcement, to update zoning ordinances as proposed in the updated county comprehensive land use plan, and to step up enforcement of all county code requirements. The League of Women Voters urges the county to develop a zoning system that will be stable and predictable. The slowdown in proposals caused by the recent economic downturn should enable the planning and zoning staff and commission to undertake an in-depth review of the county's zoning. We understand that about 90% of the county is zoned AR1, and that leads to numerous proposals to change that so that developers can do things that aren't permitted under AR1. By rezoning areas appropriate for business, light industry, and enterprises appropriate for rural farm areas, and possibly additional categories in a systematic manner, the current situation with frequent proposed rezoning and conditional uses could be minimized and predictability could become the norm, as it is in neighboring Kent County. This would substantially reduce the costs of planning and zoning staff and commission meetings. We believe the number of meetings of the Board of Adjustment should be reduced from 2 a month to 1 month. By adhering to recent court decisions and enforcing all current county code requirements, the Board of Adjustment should significantly reduce the number of variances approved. The numerous applications that fail to meet all code requirements should be denied by staff, thereby reducing the need for bi-monthly board meetings. We applaud the stated intent to include funding for a land use planner. We urge you to ensure the salary level is sufficient to attract a highly qualified, experienced, certified land use planner and to give this person sufficient authority to improve the land use planning process in the county. We understand that the proposed capital budget provides for the purchase of integrated software that may allow the Planning and Zoning Department to computerize its data. This should include all data, this should include a database with details about all land use proposals, including proposed zoning changes, subdivision proposals, conditional uses, etc. We believe it is high time to modernize operations of the Planning and Zoning Department. The new system should enable the department to provide council and the public with adequate and timely information about pending and approved proposals, expiring or expired conditional uses, and other timed proposals. The system should include GIS mapping capability, as is available currently from the mapping department. This would make it possible to visualize the cumulative effect of pending and approved rezoning and conditional uses. We are very concerned, however, that the objectives for the Planning and Zoning Department did not mention any effort toward implementation of a new system, that this system appears to be only one small part of an overall financial system, and that, I quote, major change would be accomplished over succeeding years, end of quote, when such a system is desperately needed now. We strongly support farmland preservation and open space programs and are concerned about the lack of any funding for the open space land use program funded at $225,000 2 years ago, but not funded at all in the current year or in the proposed budget, just when the cost of land under such a program is at its lowest. We urge you to reconsider that unfunded program. Finally, the League of Women Voters of Delaware has long supported the elimination of county row offices by consolidating their responsibilities into county administrative departments. We recognize the potential loss of revenue to the county from the state's proposal, which we hear today is dead. But in any case, we would oppose the concept of transferring those functions and revenue to the state. Thank you for the opportunity to present our views. We urge you to defer action on the budget until you have the opportunity to review our recommendations and those of others who may be presenting today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Spence. Anyone else? Representative Lee.
Thank you, sir. Biff Lee from Laurel, and I'm here today with my fire service hat on, representing the Sussex County Volunteer Firefighters Association, and that is a name change from last year. We have changed from firemen to firefighters. I'm here today representing 21 fire, volunteer fire and ambulance companies and two standalone ambulance companies in this wonderful county of Sussex. And we just want to thank you very much for the money you give us, and this year you saw fit to even raise some of the money that we lost last year. Believe me, we understand the budget process, and we know the money's not coming into the state and county like it did. So we not only thank the council, but also County Administrator Dave Baker and our friend Susie Webb here. Again, thank you very much. I brought a few of my friends with me today. If they'd stand, please, and be recognized. That includes you, Eddie Parker. I see you hiding over there. Bridgeville Fire Company. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Yes, Mr. Parrish.
Good morning. I'm the elected clerk of the peace for Sussex County, and I'm here to highly commend the Sussex County Council for unanimously voting to oppose Governor Markell's proposals to consolidate the row offices, specifically the Recorder of Deeds and Register of Wills at the state level. It's an outrage that would have compromised the integrity of county government, would have confiscated fees that were collected by our respective offices as a potential impact on the Clerk of the Peace Office, and it absolutely challenges the voters, and it's wrong to take tax dollars and fees from our county to complement and supplement and attempt to satisfy the governor's budget. Very impressed that Councilman Wilson journeyed to Dover. Happy to read and understand from my colleagues County Administrator Baker's explicit and implicit testimony, which significantly impact the outcome. And when I heard earlier that the area and the subject matter was to be tabled, I can assure you it will remain tabled because this will be part of the political campaign this year by several people in this county and other counties. And when people are talking about raising taxes, the first thing we need to do is to again compliment the Sussex County Council for challenging outrageous regulations like dogs and not having authority, telling us that how we're going to administer county government without having state mandates. The state of Delaware is the first vocal voice to suggest when the federal government imposes mandates on the state government, and yet they are willing to mandate activities, funds, and appropriations to the county government. It should not be acceptable, and it will not, and I thank the county administrator, and I thank Councilman Wilson for his efforts, and I sincerely encourage the entire Sussex County Council not to change course, but to continue to challenge it, because you're representing and you're saving thousands and thousands of dollars for not only this budget, but future budgets if you continue to challenge the state and their unmitigated gall to impose their will on a sovereign county. And on behalf of taxpayers and voters in Sussex County, I sincerely thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Yes.
I'm Beth Doty, 8 Pleasant Drive, Arnell Creek, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I don't know whether this is the right time, but we sent a letter on May 14th to Mr. Vance Phillips, from the West Rehoboth, Coalition for West Rehoboth. I don't know whether that letter has gotten to the rest of the council or whether this is the time it involves a grant to West Rehoboth. let me read the letter if I may be able to do that. Dear Chairman Phillips, this letter is written on behalf of the residents of West Rehoboth, which, as you know, is a very low-income, historically African-American community just outside the corporate limits of Rehoboth Beach. For years, West Rehoboth has struggled with poverty, crime, and other public safety issues, inadequate and unsafe housing, and other conditions that no person residing in this nation should have to endure. Since passage of the Neighborhood Revitalization Plan in 2009 and development of an umbrella group, the Coalition for West Rehoboth, many positive things have happened in West Rehoboth. Working together, a strategic plan was adopted by the Coalition, Westside New Beginnings, and the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust. In the summer of 2009, a stimulus grant allowed us to hire a housing project manager, who's standing here with me today, to weatherize several homes and train 8 West Rehoboth residents to do weatherization in the community. This program was will successfully conclude in September of 2010. Workshops have been held to help residents understand their rights as tenants facing landlords who take advantage of them, and health clinics are offered at the community center. Residents and volunteers have come together to beautify the community through the addition of trees and shrubs and flowers, and have participated in 2 community cleanup days. Our part-time community organizer, who is funded through a grant, takes complaints and helps to resolve critical issues in the neighborhood that help to reduce crime and to assist the elderly with needed services. The children's program is expanding and effectively reaching children year-round. 35 participate in that program. The 3 nonprofit organizations sending this letter, the Coalition for West Rehoboth, the Westside New Beginnings, and the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust, are working together to improve the quality of life and the well-being of residents in West Rehoboth. We have made progress in addressing some of these issues facing West Rehoboth. However, we, as any of you have been over there, there are many issues yet to be addressed. In addition, Sussex County Community Development and Housing Division has in recent months done what it could with limited resources to help West Rehoboth. We have been able to help 2 families make the transition to decent housing, and they've demolished a few of them. This is through the Sussex County Housing Development Program. And they've been able to, some of the most deteriorated and unsafe abandoned structures, they have been able to demolish. And we are really grateful for their help, and they've been a great partner in working to help us to receive this stimulus grant, CSBG money through for State Community Action. We request that Sussex County Council, in making its budget plans for the coming fiscal year, take into account West Rehoboth's urgent needs, specifically allocating $70,000 to the Coalition for the following projects: $35,000 to install A-frame roofing on 7 mobile homes so those homes can withstand weather and moisture damage, $12,000 for emergency housing repairs, floors, windows, plumbing, electrical, siding for persons in 6 unsafe homes, $14,000 for emergency housing replacement, set up costs for 2 mobile homes, the homes themselves to be occupant purchased or donated, $6,000 for help with trash removal, and $3,000 for operating of streetlights in the community. We would be pleased to attend County Council meeting to discuss these further. That's why we're here today. And we hope that you will take this into consideration. And the letter is signed by the presidents of 3 organizations working together in West Rehoboth. The residents, I want you to know, are probably 50% of the organizations. And in one case, the Westside New Beginnings is a whole, are all residents of that community and have 50% of members, residents from the community on the boards, on these nonprofit boards. If you have any questions, I don't know whether this is a time for that, but I'd like to present this in the form of a request.
Thank you very much.
No, I'll just make a, at this point, we'll just,
we just really haven't had a history in Sussex County of putting so much attention to one, you know, community. We've tried to help. There's so much need in Sussex County. Our community housing people have tried to help everybody, and there's a big long list, and we work at it, you know, every year. But we haven't really, as you can see with the budget we just went through, we really haven't targeted large amounts of sums to, you know, individual communities, and it would probably take a change in the way we address things at Sussex County Council. Now, through our councilmatic funds, things that each of us have, we've tried to address, you know, some of these issues in a small way, but because I think Sussex County doesn't, again, have that tradition of having social programs like you see in other counties and other states, the state of Delaware basically has a lot of the authority in a lot of those areas. So that's maybe why it's so awkward maybe here in Sussex County and Delaware, I don't know.
I think again, you know, there are pockets of poverty in Sussex County. I know that you have that there's a high poverty rate compared to the other two counties, and a lot of that is dispersed throughout the county. Mm-hmm. But there are, Coverdale Crossroad being one, and I've been familiar with that community over the last 30, 40 years, and this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing, I mean, talking about it, the lowest common place where people can be involved in working in those communities, I think it would be wise for the council where you have these communities of poverty to work with, in partnership with those people. This stimulus program is highly successful. We surpassed all of our benchmarks in terms of being able to fix up to how many homes?
14 homes and stimulated jobs.
And stimulated. We had trainees. We started out thinking we could have 5 trainees, and you know, we've had 8, 9 trainees through this project who are now and people that live in West Rehoboth. So it's the grassroots support that's going to make something work well
when you're
working in community. And that's different than when you have poverty dispersed throughout a community. Those are, different issues. So I hope that you'll rethink in terms. You already have a grant program to nonprofits,
mm-hmm.
and I think I know this is a lot of money, but I think it would be a partnership in which you would see a lot of success in the future if you want to move in that direction. We're a place-based nonprofit. That's a little bit different than like the food bank that deals with the whole state, or they deal with poverty throughout the state. So it's place-based. We've developed strong relationships in that community now. We have a good chance of success in the future, and I think can turn that community around. So I hope that you'll think about this.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker?
Yes. I just wanted to make one comment. We have heard from our community development office, who you mentioned in your comments, and they have indicated that they've just recently received notice that there will be about $68,000 of community development block grant funding for 4 to 6 rehabs in the West Rehoboth area that will be made available out of our CDBG funds. So, and I know the county has tried to work with the West Rehoboth area in the past. We've helped with cleanups and sewer hookups and rehabs and whatnot. Yeah.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to comment on this ordinance? Any other members that would like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, let the record show that there are no other members of the public have expressed their desire to address council concerning the ordinance. As a result, we'll close the public hearing record.
Okay. Does council have any comments?
Oh, I was just wondering, you know, we now have the Economic Development Office. I'm just wondering, do we have any successes coming out of that office?
We do. Yes. There is a company, for instance, in the Bridgeville area that has moved from Pennsylvania. And they are, in fact, they're considering applying for an American Recovery Zone bond as one example.
Mm-hmm.
I know we have quarterly meetings with our industrial park tenants to try to, which had been, we used to do years ago, but which had stopped, and, and now that is all, that is running again, and we try to encourage their existing businesses to help with their needs as best we can. And those are a couple of things that come to mind. I think it's, it is a difficult economic time. It is difficult for businesses who want to expand to borrow money. And there are a number of other businesses that we've met with that are business people that have expressed interest in establishing new business or expanding existing business in Sussex County. So we continue in that regard.
Thank you.
Mr. Baker, it was suggested that there are no raises for county employees. Is, in fact, there are no merit raises for county employees in this budget?
No, there are recommended merit raises, which is unlike the 2010 budget that we're in right now. They're different. In prior years, until 2010, the department heads would make recommendations for merit raises for employees that would go above and beyond. And there are a number of those included in this budget recommendation. So that is a change compared to the 2010 budget.
Well, thank you.
There are also anniversary increases in here also for employees.
Thank you for that, clearing up that inaccurate testimony. Any other comments from council, Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I just, as we were going through it, just some observations, I think. And we talked about it before with the when we were talking about personnel. As I'm reading the paper about different governments, whether they be at the, you know, national level or state level or even county and small, you know, small cities, it seems personnel issues seem to be the packages that governments have been able to hand out to their personnel have been in the past very generous. And salaries, it used to be that salaries of government personnel were low, and salary and benefits used to be help complement that. Now it seems that we're seeing salaries of the private sector and the public sector, you know, well balanced out now. If not, I just saw an article, and I think I read it today, where even public sector jobs are paying more. So I think we're going to have to, so we don't end up going down the same path as a lot of other small governments. I think we're going to have to address the packages maybe we give to new hirees, not our current personnel and everything like that. We can't change that because we've made contractual arrangements with these people. But I think we need to really look at, you know, what we're doing with the pension, what we're doing with healthcare, what we're doing with all these issues for personnel, because we don't want to look up when we're all gone and we saddle another, you know, future county council with some excessive personnel type issue. So. And I see that as the factor that in all these areas that are really hurting local governments. So I would kind of caution us on that to that we start looking at that in this next budget next year. We looked at I think the League of Women Voters talked about open space. I've been a big advocate for open space, but I'm a firm believer that when the county spends money, tax dollars for open space, it ought to be purchase, not easements. Agricultural easements, in my opinion, don't meet the standard for open space, because I think if we use public money, we ought to get public access. The other issue has been with our unified sewer accounting fund, which is, I think, great. We've had our sewer people running around with different rates on all these different places, and it's helped in that, but we need to take a step further, and I think the front footage charges are still inequitable. I think everybody benefits from the sewer equally, and I don't think it's equitable when we have one neighbor having maybe a small lot and a guy on a cul-de-sac, or a guy, say, has a large lot frontage and a guy on a cul-de-sac has small lot frontage, and he gets some big break because of his front footage is smaller. I mean, you've got to go through somebody's whole parcel to get to the next parcel and to get to the next parcel. So we're all in it together. So I'd like to see some kind of uniform unit pricing in front footage cost also. And it may be, gang, it may not be the whole sewer district. Maybe we can break it up. Maybe we could do it like with subdivisions, or maybe we could do it with regional type of approach. But there's got to be a better way than to just come up with a flat thing of front footage charges and it's not equitable. It still isn't, and that's the weak point. So I'd like to see we look to that. So
those are a couple little observations that I'd like to maybe see that we look to, and we've made some improvements, I said, and we've done very well. So, I applaud everybody for all the good work and the tightening of our bootstraps and everything else. But I think if we have a number of down years, and we could, we have no crystal ball here, we better be prepared.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Addressing the issue of open space funding, do we have some money set aside in reserve for open space funding?
Yes, we have a little over $1 million that was set aside in previous budget years that has not been expended, that is for open space.
Okay. For farmland preservation?
If there's a different program. Yes. It is available for farmland preservation with a four-fifths vote of council, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it is available for that or for in-fee purchases, as Mr. Cole advocates. So open space preservation is not being neglected by this council. Any other comments
also, I'd like to know the amount in appropriated reserves at this time.
The amount in appropriated reserves. I can
have the balance.
The rainy day fund, is that what?
The rainy day fund?
Well, you alluded to the appropriated reserves quite a few times that you didn't, at the bottom, no use of appropriated reserves in the general fund budget.
The budget balances on its own revenues equals expenses without pulling any surpluses into the budget to make it balance.
How much is in the appropriated reserves?
As of June 30, 2009, we had $9,446,000 is undesignated in the general fund.
Is that down from last year?
That's actually up from 2008.
Okay.
By about $4 million, I believe. I don't have 2008 financial statements in front of me, but I do have 2009.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Any other comments from council?
I would say this. It sounds like $9 million is a lot of money, but we were $22 million short this year, $22 million short in transfer taxes. And we don't have no idea where we're going from here. So just because we got some money in the bank doesn't mean we ought to just go out and spend it.
Yeah, I believe our transfer taxes topped out at around $36 million a few years ago, Mr. Baker.
Yes, $36
million. They're under $22 million shorter this year.
Any other comments from council? Is it appropriate to entertain a motion?
I will say this, too, Vance. Before I heard some people requesting more services, more government. And some of these people have actually run from states because taxes got too high, too much services. And they come to Delaware and enjoy the lower taxes here in Delaware. And they complain because we're not running the state right. My recommendation is those takes our tax are not high enough and come from another state, they should just go back home for a while. When they come back, they'll be glad they're living in Delaware again.
Not Delaware, Sam. You got to say
Sussex County.
That's better.
Absolutely, George.
That's right. Sussex County.
I stand to be corrected. You're exactly right.
Thank you.
I'm
here to keep you on the road straight and narrow.
Mr. President, you asked if it would be appropriate for a motion. It's my understanding, based on past practice, that we would hold after this public hearing concluded, we go ahead to the next public hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
And if that public hearing is concluded, then we can go to the next public hearing, which was originally slated for 10:30.